This is the sermon for May 5th, 2019. The Word of God is recorded in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 14 to 29. Let us listen together now for the Word of God. When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them, and some scribes arguing with them. When the whole crowd saw him, they were immediately overcome with awe, and they ran forward to greet him. He asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" Someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought you my son. He has a spirit that makes him unable to speak, and whenever it seizes him, it dashes him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to cast it out, but they could not do so." He answered them, "You faithless generation, how much longer must I be among you? How much longer must I put up with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. When the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. It has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you are able to do anything, have pity on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out, "I believe, help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You spirit that keeps this boy from speaking and hearing, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." After crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he was able to stand. When he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" He said to them, "This kind can come out only through prayer." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your holy sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The Lord helps those who help themselves. According to the demographer and pollster George Barna, the statement the Bible teaches that God helps those who help themselves had the following results in a February 2000 poll. 53% of Americans in general agree strongly. 22% agree somewhat. 7% disagree somewhat. 14% disagree strongly. 5% stated they don't know. Of self-described born-again Christians, 68% agreed. 81% of non-born-again Christians agreed with the statement. Despite being of non-biblical origin, the phrase topped a poll of the most widely known Bible verses. 75% of American teenagers said they believed that it was the central message of the Bible. The saying is often attributed to Benjamin Franklin, who used it in his Poor Richard's Almanac, yet its origins can be found much earlier. In his Metamorphoses, in the year AD 8, Ovid writes, "Divinity helps those who dare." Sophocles, in his play Phlegethes, which is dated circa 409 BC, writes, "No good e'er comes of leisure purposelessness, and heaven ne'er helps the man who does not act." Euripides used similar sayings in his writings, also in the 4th century BC. Babrius in the 1st century AD expressed a similar sentiment, as did Aesop in the 6th century BC. Algernon Sidney worded the phrase as we know it today, in the late 7th century, in his Discourses Concerning Government. The sentiment is in the Quran. It was used in bringing to bear the French Revolution and was the motto of a Confederate ship in the Civil War. The saying has endured for so long, it transcends culture, religion, and time. There is just something about it that humankind has connected to the idea that this is how our God operates. The problem with this saying is not simply that it is not in the Bible. The problem is also what this saying reduces God to. If the Lord helps those who help themselves, then God's grace is conditional upon our initiative, and our God is beholden to our initiative. Which is to say that if we help ourselves, God is therefore required to help us, because we have done our part. Thus, we are either left with a God without mercy, who only helps when required, or a God without any kind of self-determination, a mechanical God who vends assistance only when we first insert the coins of self-help. This smacks of an old belief deemed heresy in the 6th century called semi-Pelagianism. Heresy because it gives far too much power to humans in the divine-human relationship, teaching that while God helps us grow in our faith, it takes human free will to initiate the divine-human relationship. So to be clear, God does indeed help those who help themselves. However, God does not only help those who help themselves. God helps the industrious as well as the idle, the powerful and the powerless. God goes second, yet more often than we realize or wish to admit, God goes first, helping us even when we will not or cannot help ourselves. In this morning's text, we encounter a desperate father whose son is possessed by a spirit that causes him to have what appears to us to be seizures. The father is desperate because he's powerless to heal this malady, which has affected the boy since he was a child. He is desperate because he has tried taking his son to the disciples, who are also powerless to heal the boy. He cries out to Jesus, "If you are able to do anything, have pity on us and help us." Here are two helpless people, father and son, in a long-standing and helpless situation. As Mark tells the story, it almost sounds like the father comes to Jesus only because he's willing to try anything, anything to end this torment. He comes to Jesus saying, "If you are able to do anything." And that little two-letter word, "if," offends Jesus, who immediately confronts the man for his lack of belief. And the father does not know what he believes. He cries, "I believe, help my unbelief." And there you have it. Faith and doubt in the same sentence from a man who only desperately wishes for the end of his child's suffering. He's not helping himself because he cannot help himself. He's in an impossible situation, and nothing is going to change unless God intervenes. Only Christ can heal the boy. Only Christ can give him back to his father. And all the father can say is that paradoxical plea, "I believe, help my unbelief." And because God is the God of mercy and grace, Christ heals him, takes him by the hand, and brings him to his feet. The one the people thought was dead is now fully, truly, for the very first time, alive. What is the appeal to us of a God who only helps those who help themselves? Why has this notion endured so long? And besides not reading the Bible enough, what are Christians and the Christian church doing so wrong in our proclamation that we continue to promulgate this false belief that this is who God is? One of my great, great regrets in my time in ordained ministry dates back to my time prior to my arrival at Reveille, during the early days of the Great Recession. I was sitting at my desk one day at church when a woman I did not know knocked on the door and asked for help. She explained to me that she was a landscaper who was losing even her wealthiest clients as the economy contracted, and people began to regard having their yard work done for them as a luxury. She told me that she never thought she would ever have to do this, never thought that it would ever come to this. But she needed financial assistance to purchase groceries for herself and for her children. In that church, I had access to a pastor's discretionary fund that I used often to help people in need, usually people helping pay their bills. Yet in this situation, I saw an opportunity to kill two birds with one stone. Just outside of my office was a flower bed that was created as part of a distant Eagle Scout project that was now completely overrun with ugly wiregrass. And no one in the church, including me, was interested in doing anything about it. So I told her, "I tell you what, if you can clean this flower bed, I'll give you $200. I rationalized it by telling myself, "Well, she has her work clothes on, and she'll appreciate the money more if she earns it. And by giving her work, I will help give her dignity." For the uninitiated, wire grass is the spawn of Satan, nearly impossible to remove, and after an hour in the hot sun, she gave up. She was hot, sweaty, and dirty when she arrived, and now was only more so. She came back to my office and said, "This stuff really is the spawn of Satan. I just need help. Can you please help me?" And that was when I finally, at long last, did the right thing, the godly thing. I helped her not because she earned it, but simply because she was in need. The Lord helps those who help themselves, yet the Lord helps everyone else too. I wonder if the reason that the old saying has endured so long is because in it, we believe we finally found a way to do what humans have tried to do ever since Adam and Eve walked with God in Eden in the cool of the evening. Make God bend to our will. I've done my part, Lord, now you do yours. Even for those of us who believe, God can be so difficult to accept, the unconditional love, the undeserved grace, all of it. We desire to control so much because we trust God so little, and like small children determined to do everything for ourselves, we push away those crucified hands when they attempt to help, when they attempt to intervene before we are truly ready. I've got this, Lord. I don't need your help. I want to do it by myself. And because God is a God of grace and mercy, God works through our desperate situations, through the people around us, helping us in ways seen and unseen, letting us take the credit, even when God did for us what we could not do for ourselves. God is assistance before we ask. God is grace we cannot earn. God is love we cannot begin to understand without the cross, without the tomb, without Easter. As the psalmist writes, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and shield. Our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Thanks be to God for helping us when we deserve it and when we don't, when we act and when we won't. The Lord helps those who help themselves, yet the Lord helps everyone else too. It is good news for today, good news for tomorrow, and good news for the world every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.